It's good to see the servants of God welcome again and didn't know what this name was. I'm preparing myself because I think 18, 19, 20, 21 November, I must be in Harare. 18, 19, 20, 21, I'll be in Harare. So I need to practice my Shona and make sure that I polish it a bit. But the Lord has been good, and thank you for praying for us and praying for me. As Zach has said, my life is very tight. Very, 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 very tight. I think in the past 2 months, I might have preached in more than 4 or 5 different countries in the last 2 months only. And still more countries to be done before the end of the year. I was speaking in Namibia last week. Praise God, I'm here this weekend. Next week? Next week I'm in KZN speaking there. After KZN, straight to Mozambique. So the great mandate, it's big, it's massive, it's big. And so we are talking about the authority in the kingdom of God. And I want to, in the next, 35 minutes, please take it down. I know normally when I start a bit low, and I will eventually, you see now when I bring it up here, it becomes loud. So yeah, keep it normal. I'll control it from here. Authority in the kingdom of God. Authority in the kingdom of God. So I got the synopsis of what you spoke about last night. Thank you. I have spies in this church that are spying on what others are preaching and leading. And thank you very much for encouraging the word of God. Indeed, we need the wisdom from Jesus. And we need to know who we are. And we need to understand the authority that he has given us. Now, go to Matthew chapter number 28. It's a very familiar scripture to all of us. And I want to believe that many of you have read it, preached from it. You still continue to quote this scripture. Matthew chapter number 28. It is known as the Great Commission. So, Haneli, feel free to disconnect my laptop and then you can put back so we can read this together on the scripture, or rather on the screen. Matthew chapter number 28, we call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. If you are not there yet, say hallelujah. If you left your Bible at home, say Jesus. Okay. I want us to take it from verse number 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Do you see that? All authority. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. This one says all power. I'm from the New King James. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We all understand that this was a very important moment for Jesus, because it was his last days. So after resurrection, he goes to his disciples, and he says, all authority. Not half of it, not one-third of it, not 99% of it, but all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. All authority is given to me. Now, the next thing that he has to say after making this statement is very, very important. Because this determines what this authority is all about. And you will understand me, because this is what I want to deal with today. What he has to say next is very, very important. So this is not just a statement. When you say all authority, it's not just a statement. It's not just saying it for the sake of saying something to them. He's saying it as a foundation to what he's about to tell his disciples. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And therefore, this is the instruction based on the authority I have. This is the instruction I'm giving you. Go. Did you hear that? I have all authority is mine. And this is the instruction I'm giving you. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, his disciples are sitting and waiting to know what's next, because they just crucified you. Praise God, you have resurrected. What's next? And the next thing he says to them, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. We are talking here about the authority in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm here to make you aware of what the authority holds and what the authority he has given to us. Are you hearing me, Church of God? And I'm going to use, I've never been in the army. I've never been part of the army. How many of you here have been in the army before? Oh, we've got quite a number of people. How I wish I had an opportunity to be in the army. Because some of the things that I'm going to speak here are not things that I've personally experienced, but are things that I have studied and learned about what is happening with the army or within the army. So, in any army, there is a commander. Am I correct? There is what? There is a commander who has the authority over everyone. Am I? So, hey, listen, I'm waiting for you who are in the army to say amen. Leave the rest around the ones who are in the army to say amen. So, the one who has the authority is the commander. Right. And what you know about the commander is when he gives you an instruction, you don't ask why. Am I still correct? If I get it wrong, please feel free. I love when we do this. Feel free to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that one is wrong. And for your information, if you raise your hand and say that one is wrong, I'm going to ask a few guys to take you outside so I can finish my sermon in peace. Now, Jesus comes as the commander of the army. And he says, when I died on the cross, and when I was buried, there are so many things that happened in that 3 days. And one of the things that happened is that I was able to draw authority from any other person, or any other authority, or any other entity. So if the devil in some part of your life had authority, when I died on the cross, I took back that authority. I took back that authority. Now, when I resurrected, God confirmed it and said, now all authority is yours. Watching on Sunday afternoon. I don't know how many of you were following it. Sunday afternoon, I was watching BBC. Not SABC. BBC. And I found that the president of Madagascar declared that there is a military coup that is in progress. How many of you saw that? The president of Madagascar. You see, those who are in the army have interest in these things. They said that there was a military coup in progress in Madagascar. And they even made a declaration to say, now, every instruction, the command, will no longer come from the State House of
or from the parliament. It's now coming from a military base. Meaning that the people who are in the military base has now taken authority over the country. The president has no say anymore. In fact, a few days later, many of the ministers were evacuated through a private jet. I think they took them to Mauritius or something. Eh? They took them to France. So because of someone who jumped in and said, I am going to take authority. I know I can give an example with something that you can relate to, but because I'm going there in November, let me not make a comment on that. That's why I'm going to Madagascar, I'm going to the island. It's safer there. But the military coup, I mean, the army comes in and take authority and say, now we are there. Now, here is the thing. When Jesus took authority, he gave an instruction to say, this is what my authority will be used for. Please hear me. But every Christian needs to understand, this is what my authority will be used for. Go. Go out. Go out. Go out. I will repeat. Go out. This authority that I have is not for you to sit in a comfortable chair at church. This authority that I have is to send you out. It's to send you out. What are you going to do when you go outside? You're going to make disciples. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel. Now, when Jesus delegates this authority to us, to go out, what many of us have done is we're using this authority for domestic use. We're using this authority to demonstrate within the military camp who is powerful and who is not powerful. Am I talking to people here? So listen, there is a war outside. A battlefield of souls is outside. And the authority that we received, flexing touch, that's what we are doing. What is more common between Pastor Alfred and Pastor Shabang? Who preached a better message? Who prayed for people in the heaven? We use the authority inside the military camp. And the authority is not for the military camp. The authority is what needs to be used. Are you hearing me, Church of God? Look, I need to emphasize on this. You know, I appreciate God for everything we're doing in our church services. Believe me, I appreciate, I love the worship, I love the gathering, I praise God together with the brethren. But at the end of the day, I need to stand up and say, this is not what we've been called for. Because here in the church, you are already born again. You are already saved. The battlefield is not in the church. No. The mandate that we've been given is not inside the church. We end up shooting each other inside the church because we have lost focus and we don't know what we're supposed to do with this authority. We've got guns, big guns, that have never been used. They are rotting in the church. Because every one of us, we're trying to stand on this pulpit. That's what we're all fighting for. That's what, Pastor, when am I preaching? Pastor, I have a revelation. Pastor, I have a prophetic word. Listen to me, we appreciate that. But all we're trying to do is to polish our guns inside the church. No, we're never going out
to use them. That's what we do. We use our authority inside. And I'm telling you, even the day we cast out a demon, you know what has happened at that time? There is a thief who mistakenly got into the military base, not knowing that it's a military base, and then got caught. And now we are all testifying that the devil has been caught. Let me tell you, the devil that is caught inside the church was just a foolish devil. He came into the wrong place. The devil we need to deal with is not inside the church. The devil we need to deal with is out there. He has arrested boys in drugs, arrested girls in prostitution. He has arrested families in idolatry. He has arrested people in crime and so many things that we can talk about. And the truth is, we are afraid to go and face the real battle. Yes, I'm telling to you. You are comfortable in the church. If I can say to you right now, let's go to the streets and preach the gospel. You are telling me, you give me 100 excuses why we can't go there. We are afraid. You can't face a drug dealer. You don't know how to tell a boy who is in drugs. You don't know how to tell a boy who is in Yahupe. You don't know how to tell a girl who is in prostitution, who is locked up in a brothel right now by a kingpin, which you are afraid. Am I talking to people here? Okay, I know that now I'm talking of what is happening outside, and it's not comfortable out there. It's not easy out there. It's easier in here. But this authority that we're talking about is not to be used inside. It's for outside. Have you ever shot your gun? Because you have one. I'm talking about a spiritual one. You have the authority. The problem is that you are trying. Let me help you understand. Let me take you away from the military base. Let me take you into medical practice. Now here you are. You are a medical doctor, and now you've been given that authority. But all you want is to practice amongst other medical doctors. When there are people out there who are sick, but you are afraid to go outside. We are afraid to go outside because we think without our authority, when we go outside, we have confidence in our authority when we are inside, because everybody understands the language here. When I say I greet you in the name of Jesus, everybody will say, you see, we all understand the language. But we are afraid to go to people who, when you say I greet you in the name of Jesus, they will not know what to say. They don't know how to say amen, because amen does not exist in their vocabulary. Hallelujah does not exist in their vocabulary. Are you hearing me? People who, when you say to them, guys, I want to preach the gospel, and they will tell you what to get off. They are the people who don't want to confront. We are comfortable to rub shoulders. You even have, oh, person. We miss you so much. Pastor, we love you so much. Oh, you look so beautiful. You look so handsome today. That's what you want. But when you get into a place where you will come back home muddy, where you will come back home with dust all over you, where you will come back home with bruises, where you will come back home with injuries, where you will come back home with bruises on your body.
We don't want to go there. I'm talking about you. You don't want to go there. You're comfortable with intercession. Everybody go out. Be on my knees praying for you. Hey, listen. Get off your knees. It's time to go out. That's what the authority is for. Amen. That's what the authority is for. I remember I was 12 years old when this thing started. I might have said this story before. I was 12 years old. I was at church. I wanted to preach and they refused me to preach, because I was just a young boy. And that night God said to me, go to the clinic. There are people who are sick. That's where the battlefield is. Go to the clinic. And when I went out, that's when I started to see God heal people. That's when I started to understand the authority. When I went out, that's when I started to see the power. So I can also cast out demons. That's when I
realize that, wait a minute, I have more authority than I thought. Why? Because I started going to the battlefield. Some of you, ever since you got born again, born in the military base, your foot has never left the military base. All your life is here. That's why you don't have testimonies. Your testimonies are even very interesting. You know, your testimonies, it's God blessed me with a car. Your testimony is like, my manager at work wanted to retrench me, but I prayed. Those are your testimonies. Those are your testimonies. Your testimony is, brethren, when I woke up this morning, I was feeling so discouraged. I did not even want to go to church, but I received a call from my dear sister, Haneli, and I'm telling you, when she spoke to me, that's your testimony. Those are the testimonies that you are sharing. Let me tell you, you don't have a testimony. You don't have a testimony. People who come back with testimonies are those who went to war. Those who went to war, those are people who are carrying real testimonies. Those who went to war, those are the people that will come back with crowns. You are not hearing me. Those who went to war, those are the people that God is going to honor. Those people who go out to war. When was the last time you went to war? You need to go out. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I know I'm revolving around one point, but I want to make sure that you grab it. You need to catch this. Now, maybe we'll focus on this in the later session. Now, we think our interpretation of authority is based on Luke chapter number 10. We'll read it later. Luke chapter number 10. Behold, I give you power. I give you authority over all serpents and scorpions. Over all Satan, and you will you will walk on serpents and scorpions, and they will never hurt you. That's how we exercise our authority. Is it not so? How many times have you quoted that scripture? How many times? Many times. I know that right now you are afraid to answer because you don't know what I'm going to say next. I mean, I've heard people quote that scripture. I have authority over serpents and scorpions. I shall tread on serpents and scorpions, and they shall do me no harm. They shall do me no harm. They praise God, they shall do you no harm. But we need to understand where that came from. Those serpents and scorpions were not just in the church. What happened? You need to take it from verse number 1. And Jesus called 70 or 72 more of his disciples. And he sent them out two by two. That's where it begins. He sent them out two by two into the villages and cities where he himself was about to go. So they went out. And when they went out, that's when he said, "Well, now I'm giving you this authority and use it to heal the sick, to cast out devils." And they came back with testimonies. And they were happy. And they said, "Even demons listen to us in your name." What did happen? It did not happen in the military base. It happened when they went out. It happened when they went out. And that's when the devil became angry. And as they were testifying, Jesus looked at them and said, "Because of what you went out to do, I saw Satan fall down like lightning. But don't be afraid. I have given you authority." Well, now you have never gone anywhere. You have never tampered with the devil. And you are busy quoting, "I have authority. I have authority. I have authority." You have never been to war. "I have authority." Am I talking to people here?
I have personally seen the blind see. I've personally witnessed wounds, open wounds, closing, and God healing people instantly. I've personally witnessed people on their dying bed, and we prayed for them, and God healed them. And I continue to see that even to this day. I'm telling you, I continue to see that even to this day. It's just that I don't publicize my life. You'll never know where I am. You'll never know what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of operations that we are doing. A lot. I could write books on the testimonies. When I come into a place like this, I just offload a few things that I've experienced and that I continue to experience. And I continue to challenge people and say, listen, God has given you authority, but you are sitting on that authority. You're sitting on that authority because you think the authority is for you to use it at work. Can I share something with you the next few minutes? This is the deception that the church has. We think that exercising authority is done through prayer, or is done in the spirit through prayer. I'm going to explain that. Right. We think that when we gather in this fashion and we spend 6 hours praying, we have dismantled the powers in Pulukwan. All night prayer. Listen, if that was working, Pulukwane will not be like this today. No, we got to be honest with ourselves. I'm sorry, this is the truth you don't want to hear. If that was working, if that was the system that is set, the streets of Pulukwane will not be like this. If prayer, if the gathering of brethren and praying, if that alone was the key, we will stand and make declaration. We pray for this, we pray for that, we pray for that. If that alone was the key, no church will be empty in Pulukwane. No heaven or nightclub will be operating in Pulukwane. And I'm not just talking about Pulukwane, I'm just using it as a city. There will be no drugs on the street. There will be no crime. There will be no corruption in the government. So the church has been made comfortable to work behind closed doors. And we exercise our authority through prayer. Hours and hours. Until voices are no more. When I come to church on Sunday morning, I greet you in the name of Jesus. Brethren, last night we prayed the whole night. We're fighting against demons. Hallelujah. We're fighting against the most, because the voice is gone. And every moment we feel that we have achieved great victory. And the devil is looking at us. He's looking at us sitting somewhere, sipping whiskey, counting all the money he made last night on drugs whilst the church was praying. Church, hear me. I'm saying if that was the method, Pulukwane will not be like this today. So now, if this, it means that there's something that is missing. If the world is still like this, it means that there's something that is missing. Let me tell you what's missing. When we gather to pray, and we are fighting against demons, but from inside the church praying, it's more like us taking our guns, you know, like in guns, and we're running around inside the church. We're shooting on the air, and we think that when we shoot on the air, we're scaring the enemy, and we're destroying the enemy.
At that moment when we're shooting, there's someone who is breaking into someone's house somewhere. And they don't care about what is happening in the church. For the worst, things have changed. Don't know in Zimbabwe, they will still say, yeah, in South Africa, they will find you in the spirit praying in tongues. They will come in and rob you of all your phones and your valuables and leave you. Yes, it's happening. It's happening. They come in, six guys with guns, papa. They two shots on the ceiling, and everybody goes down. Even those who are having a vision in the spirit, at that moment, they come home immediately. They come back. They come back. And start to focus on what these guys are doing. Are you hearing me, Church of God? I mean, I've seen this, I've heard, not seen it, but I've heard of this. In fact, I have one guy from our church. I'm not going to mention his name because we have church members here from our church. I was trying to call him. I could not get a hold of him on the phone for about 3 days. So he calls me back and says, "Sorry, Apostle, you could not get a hold of me because I was in, we went to Pretoria with my wife. We were invited for this conference. It was in the evening. Six guys came in. They robbed us of all our phones inside the church. Ask me if nobody called the name of Jesus. Everybody called the name of Jesus at that moment, but nothing happened. Then you need to ask yourself, is there something that we're not getting right? Is there something that we're not getting right? So if that is the method we think will work, it's surely not working. It's surely not working. And the evidence is all around us. The evidence is all around us. You know why? Because we're exercising our authority in the wrong place. We need a church that will say, God, you've given us authority. You've given us authority. We are ready to go. We're ready to go. We need a church, a group of people who are saying, we're not even afraid to die. We're not afraid to be wounded. We're not afraid to be mocked. We're not afraid to be cursed. We're not afraid to be attacked. We're not afraid to be rejected. We're not afraid to be insulted. We're not afraid to get dirty. We're not afraid to come back with bullet wounds. If I die in the field, I have died. It's a death of honor. We need people who are like that. We need a church that is saying, we have prayed. It's now time to go out. We need a church that says, God, give us, open a place for us where every month we will go out and evangelize. Open a place for us where every month we will go out into the kingdom of the devil, because souls are not coming in there, and we start to draw them out one by one. We will draw the captives and bring them out from the kingdom, from the bondage of the devil. We will bring them out one by one. We don't just bring them out by putting a church alone. We need to literally walk out of the church. Are you hearing me, Church of God? We have to walk out of the church into the base of the enemy and walk in there and start to call him of Jesus. Because that's where you'll see the real power. That's where you'll see the real power. That is where you'll see the real power. That is where the name of Jesus is necessary. What do I mean by this? You see, when you are in the field, there are times when you call the name of Jesus. Because you know that right now, it's a matter of life and death. If this name does not work for me now, I'm dead. Because you found yourself in a place where you are surrounded by militant Muslims. And they were told that there is a preacher in the village. And they are looking for you. And that is the time where you have to call the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me? That is the time where you have to call the name of Jesus. This is the time where they are looking for you, because the cartels of prostitution in Polokwane has heard that there is a woman who is taking the girls
out of prostitution. And now you have become the target. And now they are looking for you because you are disturbing their operations. But I can tell you, that's not a place where the church wants to go. We want to stay on this. You see this chair? You are fine. Are you hearing me? There are places we don't want to go to. There are places we don't want to go to because the music is too loud. The smoking is too much. The drinking is too much. The eating is too much. But those are the very places which God has said to us, go. God bless you.